I'm ready when you are, baby.
All right, here we go. Another episode of Break It Down. I am Kaya, your host, and I am here with my brother from another mother, Bryce. And you're probably wondering, how many siblings do you have?
I'm the bonus.
Yes, he is a bonus sibling, but a sibling nonetheless, my baby brother, because I am older.
Yeah.
Yes. So he was actually friends with my baby brother since high school.
Yeah.
And I have known him since.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've seen the changes in the come up.
I see the change in the come up.
You've seen the glow up.
Yes. So without any further ado, everyone, welcome to the show, Bryce.
You know.
Wait, you went fully bald?
Yeah, I went fully bald. We can talk about that if you want to. That's what happens when, you know, you go through the change and start losing your hair and male pattern baldness. So we can get into all that. Talk about that too.
I didn't know, but you got the full facial and then you took the hat off.
Listen, a beard will change your life. I wouldn't have went bald if I ain't had this good old luxurious.
Because you're luxuriating with the beard going on.
Yeah. I'm totally bald, man. It grows in patches, you know.
For real?
Yeah, it grows in patches. So
then we're gonna have to get down to it because now I need to know why. I need to understand.
Yeah, so you wanna give the people a little
backdrop. So you know, on a few shows we've talked about, you know, the LGBTQIA community and some of the things that we didn't understand, some of the things that were up in the news with the Dave Chappelle, with the Olympics and stuff like that. So we've had some conversations regarding the LGBTQIA community. And to be honest with you, there's a lot that I don't know.
Okay.
So my brother
you said
here,
go to the source.
My brother here, Bryce, is officially a trans man.
Yes, a man of trans experience.
Is that how I'm supposed to say? Because I want to be.
Oh no, you got no. So you know, there are a few things. So people call, you know, I don't mind being called transgender, a trans man, a man of trans experience, FTM, which is an acronym for female to male, for those who don't know. As long as you don't call me a tranny, we all good.
Okay, so tranny is against the rules.
Tranny is a derogatory term, right?
Okay.
So tranny would be equivalent to calling a gay man a faggot.
Okay.
Or calling a lesbian a dyke, or calling us African Americans niggas. It's a nigger with an ER at the end, because you know we threw the A on there. But nevertheless, it's a derogatory term, and a lot of people don't know that.
Okay. Because I follow
derogatory,
one of the people. But one of the people that I love, Flame Monroe. I don't know if you have ever heard of.
Flame, the comedian.
She has no problem with certain terms. So I'm just trying to be respectful to the community because I don't want no smoke.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So let's jump right in it because I've known you since you were a female.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you were a girl, little girl.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, for the people that are here, though, I was, so that they know, I was never a feminine girl. I never ever really considered myself a girl at all.
Really?
I just think
from
that,
birth.
From birth. Even my mom tells the story as well, but I never considered myself a girl. I think that I knew from when I was younger that I was born in the wrong body. Like, I knew that. I knew that, you know, I knew from a very young age that I didn't feel right. You know, I remember as young as, I might be jumping a little ahead, but I remember as young as maybe about 8 or 9 years old, every year. So I have an uncle, and I will talk about family and stuff. So my uncle is legendary in the ballroom scene. So balls are where the LGBTQ plus community, we get together. And it's like a competition. And so we battle for trophies. There's different categories. So you have butch realness, or femme queen realness, or sex siren body, perfect tens is, you basically have the whole package. So my uncle he's a gay man. He's what you would call a butch queen. So a butch queen is aggressive, masculine man, trade is what they call him, where you, mama can't tell, papa can't tell that he's gay. You would never know it. You see him walking down the street, you would never know. So that's my mother's brother, my mother's only brother, and he's a gay man. And, you know, back in the day, I don't know how much it is now, but back in the day, gay men had all the style. It didn't matter. Gay men had all the style.
80s? So, 80s? Yeah. 70s? 80s, oh, it was a wrap.
90s, yeah. Mm-hmm. So my uncle used to do our school shopping for us. And this was back when Century 21 was popping. And you'd get all your school clothes from Century 21 and you was lit. And I remember, I gotta ask my mom, but I think I was maybe about 8 or 9 years old. And it was time to get school clothes. And my mother said, "You're not getting any new school clothes until you wear the dresses in your closet that we bought from last school year." And I looked at my mother, and it's funny when she tells the story, she said, "You looked at me and you said, I guess I'm not getting no new clothes." And I was adamant about that at 7, 8, 9 years old. I was very uncomfortable.
Want to wear a dress.
Yeah, I was very uncomfortable presenting as a girl, even that young. I was very uncomfortable. I didn't like guys looking at me. I didn't like people calling me she. I didn't like that. But at that time, you're talking about, I was born in 83. So at 7, you talk about 1990, 1991, 92, where we didn't know really what trans was. You know what I mean? You were either gay, you were a dyke, or a bull dagger is what they used to call them back in the day. You were either that or you were just straight. There was no in between. So the world has evolved a lot. So as a kid, I just never felt comfortable in a female's body, if that make any sense.
So if it felt, even though you didn't have the words or the terminology
the
for
language,
it, it
yeah.
was just like something ain't right. Something ain't right. So obviously your mom, I'm guessing, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that because of the fact that your mother experienced a particular type of situation with your uncle, that she was a little less judgmental when it came to you?
Well, my family, I'll say this. My mother's side of the family is very lax in judgment, and I appreciate them. You know, I don't have a backstory. Well, I do have a backstory more so on my father's side, and we'll get into that, but I don't have a backstory when it comes to my mother's side of the family in being supportive, because they've been supportive of me since day one, even before my transition. You know, I never was, like I said, I was never a feminine girl. When I did have to make a choice, as I got old, I mean, I played basketball growing up, I played football growing up. I played with the boys. I was riding bikes. I was playing video games. I wasn't doing any, I wasn't a cheerleader. I wasn't any of those things. I always did what the society will call male things. I always did that. I always played with male things. So my mother, you know, has always been supportive in my whole journey. She's never treated me differently. She's always been supportive. And to her, I'm her son. And you know, she says all the time, I know what I had, but you are my son. Like, and nothing else matters to me but that. And so I appreciate her and I love her for that. I don't have any sob stories about growing up and feeling like my family neglected me or didn't love me. I mean, I have stories about how, you know, people have treated me, my friends, or growing up and dealing with being bullied and people telling me that this is a choice. And I never had anything like that with my mom, ever. That's my best friend in the whole wide world.
That's dope. That's dope. Yeah. And do you have siblings?
Yes, I have siblings. Okay. So I am my mother's oldest. So my mother has five and my dad has five. And I have what I don't like to call them step. I have a bonus brother. My father's wife, they don't have a son together, but she had a son before she married my dad. So I have a sister. I have two sisters. So I'll call them. They know who I am and I'm trans, so I don't have to, you know, protect any innocence here. So I have an older sister on my dad's side. Her name is Melissa. I don't really talk to her. And then I have Angel. So I'm going where I sit. So I have Angel. And then there's me. And then I have two younger brothers, Isaiah. We call him James Rich. He's also, I'm also in the entertainment industry as well. So he's my artist. I manage him. And then I have a younger brother. His name is Ian. And then on my mother's side, I'm her oldest. And below me, I have a sister, Kalima. I have a brother, Cass. And then I have Tariq and Xavier. And my bonus brother, his name is Yusuf.
You basically almost up to us, you know.
Yeah.
As far as the amount of siblings you have.
My mother and my father, they only, you know, the story is funny. My mom and my dad only had me. They hooked up over a summer.
And you were the only one.
And that was it one time. Wham, bam, here we go. Hello, I'm here.
Hello. Hey. All right.
I'm here.
Okay, so obviously you are real close with your mom. Right. So how is your relationship with your father?
Okay, now things are gonna get a little interesting. My relationship with my dad has gotten better over the years. Okay. My mother raised me. Like I said, my mom and my dad were never in a relationship together. My first memories ever of meeting my dad, my first memories, and I've seen pictures of them, you know, holding me, you know, my dad visiting me. But the memory that I have, the first memory I have of my dad, I was 10 years old and I went and spent a summer with him. My dad lives on Staten Island and I was living in Jersey at the time, in Jersey City. And I spent the summer with my dad. He came and picked me up. We rode the Staten Island ferry and I stayed with Rest Her Soul, my Aunt Charlene, who's my dad's sister. I stayed at her house for the summer with my sister Angel. That's my first memory of meeting my dad. I don't remember anything before that.
Before 10.
Before 10. And then I spent summers with him, I want to say maybe the next 2 or 3 years. And then, like I said, I was living with my mom. And when I turned 14 years old, my mom had put me in Marist High School in Bayonne, New Jersey. She asked me, my mom has always been the type of mother who asks, you know, what do you want out of life? She asked me, where do you want to go to school? And I said, I want to go to Marist because they have a good basketball team. And Marist High School is closed now, but Marist High School was a Catholic school. And it cost $8,000 to go there. Back then, you know,
that was a lot of money.
That was a lot of money, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So my mother sent me to Marist High School. And I got kicked out after my first year of high school. I'm guessing you want to know why.
So my
freshman year of high school, like I said, once again, it was a Catholic school. This was back in the day when being gay or being a lesbian or whatever, that shit was frowned upon. It wasn't in style. Right. It was like the army. Don't ask, don't tell. Like, yeah. it was like that. And so I was really the only, I mean, I'm talking at 13, 14 years old, I was wearing a short cut with waves. Like, and this one particular day, me and a couple of my friends, we were in the bathroom and we were smoking weed and we walked out and one of the sisters must have smelled it. So we all got detention and all of that other stuff. But I'm the only one that got kicked out. And so when they called my mother up to the school and they were telling my mother what happened. And my mother said, you know, they're kids and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And they said, well, we're expelling, you know, my name at the time. We're going to expel her. My mother said, well, are any of the other kids getting expelled? And they said, no. And my mother said, well, why is my, and I'm talking about straight A's. I've always been a good student. And they said, do you know that your daughter's a lesbian? And my mother said, yeah. Like, and looking back on it now, I probably could have owned that school, but you know, we weren't.
Seriously.
We weren't thinking like that. And my mother said, yeah. And my mother said, well, what would you like me to do about that? Do you want me to disown my kid? What would you like me to do? And they said, well, we don't accept that here. And I got kicked out. And my mother was devastated by it. I think more so, not about the weed thing. She was devastated because my mom felt like, you know, they always say, even now, don't embarrass me in front of them white people. And the fact that I was Black and I was gay, and my mother used to work for MTA. Like, my mom used to work 16-hour days, and she scraped and got by and, you know, put us up in this big-ass 5-bedroom house and did whatever she had to do to make ends meet. And my mother's husband at the time, you know, he was a truck driver. So we lived a very good life. By all means, we were a little bit above middle class. And so, you know, my mother felt like, damn, I did all of this and I put you in this school and this is what happened. So, you know, she was very hurt by that. And at the time, she found out she was pregnant with Tariq. I'm from Albany Projects originally in Brooklyn. And we had moved back to Brooklyn across the street from the project. And my mother said, I don't want to raise my son in this area. So she decided to move to North Carolina, she said, and this is what I love about my mother, she said, I'm going to give you a choice. Now, me and my mother, I at first was upset with her, and there's a couple of years after this that me and her finally had a conversation, and I said, I remember my mother telling me she wanted to move to North Carolina, but she said, I promise you, I won't move until you graduate from high school because I don't want to take you away from your friends. And I think, coupled with her getting pregnant and me getting kicked out of school, it was just a lot on her. They were setting toll booths on fire at the time. And you remember when they used to and one of her friends had gotten killed by that. So I think that she just wanted to be out of New York City. And so she said, I'm going to give you a choice. You can either come with me or you can go live with your father. Those are your only two options. And I was like, I don't want to go to North Carolina, so I'll go live with my dad. And I went to move with my dad at 15 years old, never lived with him before, moved in with him, his wife, and my two brothers. That's how I ended up meeting Josh. My sophomore year, I enrolled in high school.
Wow. Okay, so when I met you, your nickname was Cisco.
That's still my nickname. Everybody
it
still
is.
Calls me Cisco.
Everybody okay, so Cisco. How did you get the name?
Cisco.
And how did your introduction to my baby brother happen?
So we'll start with the introduction. So my sophomore year, the first day of school, my first class was Mr. Ochio Grosso. That was his name. And he taught history. Okay. And I've always been kind of like this. I'm always the clown. I'm always the one that, you know, people like to be around, things like that. So when I walked in the new school, I walked in and I was just like, what's up, everybody? And Mr. O was like, this is such and such, and she's new here, blah, blah, blah. And I went and I sat next to Josh. And I was like, yo, what's up? And he was like, what's up? I was like, what's your name? He was like, Josh, what's your name? I told him my name. And we kind of just hit it off. He was like, yo, just roll with me. I got you. And we ended up having like all of the same classes together. And our relationship grew, man. Like, that's my man's, $100,000. And so Cisco came about because I had this, I don't want to call it an obsession because I don't want people to feel like that. But Cisco was like my guy. Like, Drew Hill was I'm a big music head. So Drew Hill was my people. And so let's keep in mind, this was at a time when Cisco had bleach blonde hair, waves, platinum hair, whatever Cisco did, I did. I bleached my shit. I platinumed my shit. I used to go to school with dragon shirts on, Into the Dragon. That was my shit. And then our junior year, we had a talent show, mm-hmm. and we did the thong song. And I was Cisco, and it kind of just stuck ever since then. And so that's my
everybody
name.
Says Cisco.
If you know me, even y'all in the family, everybody still called me Cisco. Nobody mm-hmm. really called me Bryce. So, but yeah, I mean, high school wasn't tough for me. I will say that. Like I said, I've always been a person that people want to be around. I've mm-hmm. always had good energy. I've always been funny.
Personality.
My personality is what it is. Mm-hmm. So for the most part, when it comes to high school and friends and things like that, I was the cool kid. I sat at the pool table. I didn't worry about any of that. My home life was a bit different. I was sharing a bedroom. We lived in a two-bedroom apartment, me, my dad, my stepmother, and my two brothers. So I shared a bedroom with two other brothers. My dad, at the time, he blamed my mother's brother for me being the way that I was. He felt like, oh, he's gay, so it must have rubbed up on my kid. And it's like, I don't think that's how that works.
So, like it was COVID.
A disease, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people think that, and that I want to dismantle that here tonight for the people who feel like there's some sort of gay agenda. There's no gay agenda. There's a thing where the LGBTQ+ community is tired of being silent. That's what that is. This is not a gay agenda. Gay people and trans people have been here since the beginning of time. This is not anything new. It's just that now we have a name for it. And my father, and I love him. I don't want people to think this is a bashing thing. My dad cares what people think. And my dad used to always say to me before my transition, why couldn't you be the feminine lesbian? He had a problem with me being aggressive. It wasn't really gay itself. It was because, you know, I remember one time he told me to come to his job for something, and I was coming up the block, and he was telling his coworker, oh, there goes my daughter right there. And they said, that little boy walking up the street? Because like I told you, I've always looked like I've always looked like a little boy, you know.
You've always had a short haircut.
Yeah. And uh-huh. so I think he was embarrassed by that. And so because
from what the coworker said.
Right. Well, not only that, just embarrassed by the fact that his daughter looked like a little boy. And I think that he wanted this girl and I wasn't that. And I think that that made him feel a little bit. But we've got.
So do you think that he took it out on you, or he just made it known that there was a disappointment?
When you say took it out on me, what do you mean?
Meaning that he treated you differently than he treated your brothers.
Oh yeah, of course, of course. I even tell him to this day. I remember trying to be straight and having boyfriends. I remember that. I tried to do
really
that. Yeah, because I felt like that if I tried hard enough, then I would be what everybody wanted me to be. I felt like because people used to always say it's a choice, and as I started getting older, I started making people realize, like, nobody chooses to be bullied. Nobody chooses to have people talk bad about them or make fun of them. Believe me, and I'm telling you this right now. I used to say if I had a choice to be straight and be a feminine woman, I would choose that every day. That was back then. I wouldn't choose that today. I would never choose that today. Cisgender men and the heterosexual community has a lot of work to do. They are very toxic.
You said cisgender, because I just found out from the last time we spoke that was supposed to be us. When did we put in that vote?
I don't know when that actually started, but cisgender means born biologically whatever you are and presenting as a heterosexual. That is what cisgender means. So you are
a cisgender. Who came up with that terminology, though?
I don't know. I could find out for you. Maybe you could put it in a little description.
I'm just like, when was the cis? I'm trying to learn, you know.
Yeah.
About the whole cisgender.
I could find out some more information about that.
Cisgender is toxic, and that
I'm just saying. I'm saying that. When it comes to, because there are so many narratives around the LGBTQ plus community about how we are making the kids gay, or we're doing all of these negative things. But what people fail to realize is that LGBTQ plus people have been here since the beginning of time. That's number one. Number two, if you hate us so much, take off everything that you have on. Polo, Versace, Tommy Hilfiger, Timberland. Everything that you wear, Karl Lagerfeld or whatever. All of these designers that you wear, all of them, okay? That came from us. The church hates us so much, your choir director.
Okay. Well, I was a choir director in my church, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah, but you know, like, you know, we direct your choirs, okay? We literally, gay people and the whole LGBTQ plus community, we literally keep things afloat. Our style keeps y'all dressed. But y'all have so much to say about us. And it's disheartening because they put this kind of stigma on us. Like, I saw something the other day. Somebody said, all of these shows, they have all of these gay characters and it's making our children gay. And I looked and I commented under and I said, so if it's making your children gay, and that's the way that it happens. LGBTQ plus people have been watching heterosexual people all their lives and never saw themselves represented on television. Why doesn't it work the same way? Why, if we've been watching straight people, are we not straight? That's not how this works. It doesn't work like that at all.
That's a good point.
It doesn't work like that at all. You are who you are, and you are made to be who you are. And people are too busy trying to make us something else or trying to make us. Do you know that LGBT, well, Q trans people are being killed at a very alarming rate. A very alarming rate.
I've been hearing more stories about it, more so on social media, because it really doesn't make like primetime news.
No, it doesn't. Because we don't matter to mainstream media. We don't matter. And when they talk about us, they misgender us all the time. They never respect our pronouns. Pronouns are important and people have to understand.
So that. I was just about to go there because the whole pronoun thing, I'm just like, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, because you have, obviously, back in the back,
but
you're entertainer. It was always gay and lesbian, right?
But
so mm-hmm. It was either gay or you lesbian, and then you had people that did, you know, the whole quote unquote drag queen era,
drag,
you
know, mm-hmm.
And they would do their competitions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so back when I was younger, like a lot of the celebrities or a lot of the artists that I liked back then, I didn't even realize that they were gay, but I just loved their music. You know what I'm saying? Right. And it wasn't a gay thing back then to me.
It was just
music. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And now with the whole pronoun thing and the whole non-binary and they, them, and like, it's like,
it's a lot.
I'm trying to understand, but it's just like every other day, it's a new thing. Now you don't want to be, you don't even want to be a gender. You want to be
a they. Right.
Now we're taking away biology. You're not a male or female.
I think that, and it's good you brought that up. I think that we have to understand that, and I'll say this, and me and my best friend, we talk about this a lot. Gender is a social construct. Gender is put here in order to, in the beginning, right? So you have a male and a female, right? Adam and Eve, that's what we'll go with. Historically, men have always been the stronger. Historically, when you think about it, men built caves and they took care of their families and right? But gender is a social construct. It's put here to divide women and men. That's really what it's put here to do. I'm not saying that there aren't women and men. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that if you look at it and you look how men get paid more than women, you look at how,
talk about that all the time.
You look at how when if you're talking to if you're a couple and you're out somewhere and a man speaks, he's talking directly to the other man. He's not addressing the female. You could look as far as when it comes to going to a restaurant, who's supposed to pay? The man's supposed to pay. When you think about Valentine's Day, you think about the fact that women all the time say, men don't, man, this is a woman's holiday. It literally divides men and women. So I say all of that to say that I think that we need to stop looking at people for their genders and who and what they have in their pants and start just looking at people. Mm-hmm. Let's take that away. Like, yes, there are men and women, but then there's people who, you know, don't feel like either or. And that's a thing where sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you feel like a man today, tomorrow you might feel like a woman, and that's mm-hmm. fine. There's nothing wrong with that. No, nobody's hurting anybody. And mm-hmm. that's the problem here, is that people are so worried and concerned about other people's lives. Why are you worrying about how that person feels? Just address them the way that they want to be addressed. And I'm not going to lie, I struggle with the they a lot. I do.
You struggle with what? With the they?
Calling people they. I do. Because.
Okay, so just, you struggle with it too.
Oh, no, yeah. I struggle with
okay,
it.
Okay, I thought I was crazy.
No, I'm not telling you that. I'm just telling you that make a conscious effort, right?
Because yes, to you, respect.
You're gonna struggle. I have a friend now. They, beautiful girl, actress on Broadway.
But you can't say girl, right?
Just recently found out that she is a they. Or that they is a they. See, I said she is a they.
How confusing it is? Yes,
that they is a they. And I remember I posted something about them. And I said, oh, look at my girl. I said her name. And I was like, shit. After I posted, I was like, damn. Right? So I struggle with it too. So I'm not saying it's not a struggle confusing. With the they. Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, it's a struggle.
Okay, because I thought I was crazy because it's just like with especially like I be who you want to be as long as you're not hurting nobody, as long as you're not being malicious and evil and stuff like that. But the thing that I had the issue was with was when it felt as though some people were trying to devalue the womb, you know what I'm saying? Oh, women
that's what I find with it, and I'm glad you said that because what I've noticed is because let's keep it a stat. You, anytime that anybody finds out I'm a trans guy, they never believe it. They because you don't hear that much about trans men. You never really. I think that people didn't even think that we existed. Like, I think that, like, the first idea of trans men that I feel like the world as a whole saw was Chaz Bono on Dancing with the Stars. And they were like, And it was like, no, Chaz Bono is not the end-all, say-all, be-all of trans men. Chaz Bono had resources, like, for instance, me. I paid for everything that I've had done to make me the man I am. I've paid on my own. Chaz Bono had his mother. He had access to different things. He had all of
that. Yeah, he had
The man that I am, I tell people this all the time, let's stop acting like what makes you a man is the fact that you were born with a penis. Let's stop that. Mm-hmm. Because there are plenty of men that are born with penises, that father children, that don't take care of their kids.
Don't get me started.
You're a male. You're not a man. The difference between me and a cisgender man is that I had to work for me being a man. I had to learn how to be a man. I had to look. There are differences. I am not your average man. Mm-hmm. That's not me. I know what it's like to live my life as a female, and I know what it's like to live my life as a male. And believe me, baby, it's very different.
No, you got to rewind that because you know what it's like to live your life as a black female.
Yeah. Right.
And so then you want to go and be public enemy number one. And in turn, you know, and now you're a black.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You got all the police brutality and, you know, black men are targeted. You know what I'm saying?
And the fact that you brought that up is crazy because I remember I had a conversation with my dad and he said to me, me and him had a deep conversation and I said, you know, so I'm 39 years old and when I was 28, I started my transition. And so how it happened for me, it was crazy. So I have a mentor. You probably see him a lot on my page. His name is Teek Milan. Teek Milan is my other best friend. He's a trans guy. He's a trans advocate. He was the media strategist over at GLAAD. He's what people call the Martin Luther King of trans men. He's the big dog. And Teek and I in May of 2012, we were in Miami, and we were at something called Sweet Heat. Sweet Heat is a gay pride in Miami. And we were sitting there and we were having a conversation. We were just talking about regular shit. And he looked over at me. And this story means so much to me because Teek saved my life. He saved my life, not in a sense where I was trying to kill myself or anything like that. He saved my life in a sense that everybody needs somebody in their life that sees them for who they are and that respects them and that understands them. And he looked at me and he said, "When are you going to stop pretending?" And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, "I see you." He said, "But I know how much your family means to you." He said, "You have to stop worrying about everybody else and worry about yourself. Worry about yourself, Snoop." So my LGBTQ community called me Snoop. So worry about yourself, Snoop. And so this was May of 2012. August 24th of 2012 was when I had my first testosterone shot. That just showed you, I just needed somebody to see me, somebody to understand where I was coming from. And so February of that next year, I had surgery. And then June of that same year, I went and got my name changed. I literally, all that. And so what I did was I typed up a letter. Because you know how Black families are. You tell one, you tell a million.
Did you hear?
I typed up a letter. I printed 20 copies. I put them in envelopes. And I sent them to whoever's address that I had. I sent one to my dad. I sent one to my mother. I sent one to my sister, Angel. A couple of different people. And I remember talking to my sister, Angel. And I was at work at the time. And she told me she got the letter. And she was on the phone and she was crying. And she said, "I just got used to having a butch lesbian for a sister. How do I now?" She said, "Because she didn't have a relationship with our other sister. So it was just me as her other sister. This is on my dad's side." So she felt like she was losing a sister. And that's what transition does to families. And I think that people need to understand that. They need to understand the fact that you are losing.
It's like a death almost.
Right. It's like mourning a death of somebody. Right. But at the same time, I am the same person. And you know me, C. You know me. I've always been the same person. I've always been funny. I've always been caring. I've always been loving. Nothing changes about me except the gender. And that's why I say people hold so much value in gender that it's like, why? I'm the same exact person. So my sister, she cried and she said, "I have sons. Like, how do I explain that to them?" And I said, people have to understand something. People have children. Your children believe whatever you tell them. They are kids. They believe whatever you tell them. So if you say, "This is my brother," this is my brother. My dad even had that, "Oh, but everybody knows, blah, blah, blah. I only had Ike and Ian, those are my two sons." I said, if you introduce me, you say, "This is my son," and anybody says to you, "Well, I thought you only had two sons," this is my son. That's all you say. And so that was my dad. And so my dad, he said, he was like, "Oh, I'm never going to respect you and call you Bryce." So we had a whole, I didn't speak to my father for like 2 or 3 years. Because
and this
I
was
like,
after you sent the letter?
This was after I sent the letter. Okay. And he said that he just wasn't going to respect it. And then I called my mother. And I speak to my mother every day. Mm-hmm. And I called my mom. And regular shit. "What's good, Ma?" Boom, boom, boom. She's like, "Hey, baby." I'm like, "Did you get my letter?" She said, "Yeah, I got it." I said, "And what's up?" She was like, "What's up?" And I was like, "You don't got nothing to say?" And she said to me, she said, "You are my son." She said, "And I was just waiting for you to figure out what your place was in this world." I know, she said, "I've known since you were a kid that you were different." She said, not bad different, but I knew you were different. She said, "So I was waiting on you to finally come into your own." She said, "My only thing that I worry about is, will you ever find a woman that loves you for you?" Will you have people in your life that love you for who you are? She said, that's my only fear in this world. Mm-hmm. Because when I'm dead and I'm gone, I want to know that somebody loves my son for the heart that he has and is going to treat him good. My mother's always been down for me. My mother has never even misgendered me. Never.
Really?
Never. My mother's never. My father misgenders me all the time.
What does your father do?
If we're all sitting somewhere and we're talking, he'll never call me by my old name. He'll just say things like she or her or things like that. And a lot of people don't understand that's a trigger for trans people. That really is a trigger because you work so hard. Like my whole thing with my dad is maybe in the beginning before I had all of this going on, but right now, if you say she to me, you look crazy. You look absolutely fucking crazy.
He's thinking that there's going to be a day when you be like, oh, I changed my mind.
This is irreversible.
Okay. All right. So you just answered a question. So once you go black, you never go back.
Once you go back, yeah. Listen. So, for the past 12 years, I've been on testosterone. I inject myself once a week. I try once a week. I'm supposed to do it once a week. I forget. But once a week, I inject myself. Nobody, and I'm terrified of needles. Nobody wants to inject themselves. I inject myself once a week with testosterone. I've had surgeries.
How many surgeries have you had?
I've had two.
Okay.
I've had two. Like you said, I've gone bald. This is not coming.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked.
So male pattern baldness, once I started taking the testosterone, I started to lose my hair.
Is that one of the side effects?
It's not a side effect, more so is that I don't have any female organs. So most men go bald by a certain time. I'll be 40 years old next year. So I'm injecting myself with testosterone, and testosterone leads to male pattern baldness at some point. So a lot of guys go bald.
They took out all of your female, everything. Like, so no,
I don't have,
no,
nothing.
Fallopian,
I don't have
no,
I have nothing. Which is another.
I mean, I have nothing either. But
right, which is another thing. So when you take all of that out, that's why the testosterone is so important at this point, because, you know, I remember I used to faithfully, when I first started, I want to say maybe the first 5 years, I would inject myself once a week. I knew what time, I knew what day I would, and that's because I was like, oh, I can't wait to get facial hair. Oh, I can't wait to have myself. Now I have all of that. I've got rid of all my organs. I sometimes go a month or two without any testosterone. How I remember it is that it's like how y'all have hot flashes.
Mm-hmm.
That happens for me. So if I forget to take my tea maybe 2-3 weeks at a time, I'll just start sweating out of nowhere. I'll be like, oh, what's today?
Mm.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I say nobody chooses this lifestyle, bro. Like,
that's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot to keep up with. You know, it's a lot. Being
so you've gone almost four decades, right?
Yeah.
You've gone almost four decades.
That's another thing. People got to understand that I had to learn how to be a man. Like, I didn't have a man in my life that I could look to for guidance. I had to learn all of this on my own. I had to learn.
Your father wasn't.
I didn't have that, because I remember having a conversation with him one day, and I said, and I was crying to him, and I said, you don't understand, like, all that I was looking for is for you to, like, help me be a man, like, tell me what to do if the cops pull me over. And he was like, I can't tell you that because I never. Nigga, but you've been a man your whole life. It's something that you could teach me. Something. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I think a lot of people don't understand is that when you first start your transition, you're going through puberty, basically. So imagine me at 28 years old going through puberty all over again, because now I'm going through puberty as a man. Right? Hair is growing in places I've never had hair grow before. I have to learn how to be a man.
Starched.
My voice dropped. I had to learn how to treat women. My first 5 years, I want to say, of my transition, I went through a bunch of fucking girlfriends. Because you go through mood swings. You go through a lot of, you're still learning yourself. You know what I'm saying? And so shout out to all the girls at the beginning of my transition. I am so sorry.
He's sorry, y'all.
You know I'm a good man. Y'all know that. So, yeah.
He's a work in progress.
I'm still a work in progress.
So, within the four decades that you have in this body, because obviously you had to change. Do you think that within the next four decades, right, that you're going to be like, maybe I made a mistake?
No.
Okay.
Never. I don't regret one single minute. I've been the happiest I've ever been in my whole entire life. I am happy with who I am.
So you feel free?
I feel free. I'm at a place in my life where I am not only happy, but I'm content with my life and the trajectory of my life and where my life is going. I'm in a whole new relationship with a woman that we went to college together. So she knew me even before my transition. So we dated when we were 18 years old. We are 30, I'm 39, she's 38. 20 years later, the universe has a funny way of making things come back. And so she's known me then and she knows me now. And it's the greatest relationship I've ever, I still have, 20 years ago, I tattooed her name on my back and I never covered it. And I was with women and they would always, you're gonna cover it, you know, so, it's on my back, nobody sees it. And
so wait, the woman that you're with now, mm-hmm. is, you tattooed her name on your back two decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we dated for 2 years in college. We broke up because, you know, niggas gotta grow up. She went, she has 3 kids. Her first daughter is my goddaughter, so that's awkward now. Her daughter is 14 years old, so her godfather is now dating her mother. So that's very awkward. She has 2 young kids, but she came into my life at a time when I was struggling with what I wanted to do when it came to my previous relationship. I was in a relationship right before her. And the girl was a good girl. I won't say anything bad about her. She was a good girl.
I met her.
You met her. A lot of y'all met her. She was a good girl. I think that we were both better off as friends. When we met each other, I met her when she was 20 years old. She's 5 years younger than me. So I met her when she was 20. We both kind of had a crush on one another at the time, but, you know, life happens. And then we ended up getting together. And once we got together, and then the pandemic hit. And so I think the pandemic destroyed a lot of relationships. And so we're no longer together at this moment, but she was a good girl. I think that she's a beautiful young woman. She's a great mom. I wish her nothing but the best. I wish that things didn't end the way that they did, but life happens. And I wish them both success and happiness and wealth and health and all of that. So, so now I'm in a whole nother situation.
Okay, you can stop being a bigger person with her. Yeah, she was, all right. She's a pass. Pass is the pass.
Don't miss part 2 of Bryce's story. This is to join the conversation.
So when women, especially black women, and I'll say this and y'all can be mad at me all the fuck you want.
I know what
black women, y'all need to pipe the fuck down when it comes to trans women, okay? Because trans women are not turning up trying to have a place in this world.
Okay,
and y'all are taking it personally.